Good morning, all. Welcome you in worship. The air conditioning is starting to cool it off in here. Everybody feeling a little more comfortable and what have you? I want to make sure that you know Sydney. She attends regularly online. She has been going to school in Virginia and has watched our services virtually. So we don't always know who our entire church family is, and that's a wonderful thing. And Christ gathers us with a lot of different people, and we are grateful. Amen. On the back of the bulletin, by way of announcements, you see some of the things going on. Deb Gunther, would you fill us in with comments about our crop fundraiser coming up in 3 days?
Okay, good morning. First off, thank you for last month's BJ's. I got a check for $82 this week, so thank you. This month's is at Wood Paddle Pizza, which is on Buckley and Quincy, all day. I thought we had flyers out here, but now I don't see any. So if you need a flyer, let me know, and I can always send it via that message. Okay? But that's this Wednesday at between 11 and 9. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Please, Ellen.
Hello. I have a friend that's at the Mennonite Church right over here in Alameda, and I wanted to give you guys an option. They're selling Palisade peaches this year. And it's an 18-pound box for $47, which, to give you context, is about 30 to 35 peaches, or a half box for $23.50. Or you do what I do. I buy and split with people. But I did want to give that option out there. The pickup will be 8:23 is when I'll pick them up for people. I'm happy to gather all the funds and delivery and all that stuff. I'll put it in the bulletin, but just wanted to give you a heads up.
Okay, thank you. You know that we are a co-parenting church. Rich Sneer is a Lutheran and a United Methodist, and so he isn't here yet, but I'll speak on his behalf about Faith Day at the Rockies. You see that on the back of your bulletin, and you might have seen some inserts. Have any of you seen the inserts? I'm kind of confused. It says batter up, but I've never seen any of the pancakes. I don't get how that's all supposed to come together. All right, I made that one up. You can just let that one go. Anything else? Paya, what do we have by way of announcements? Anything from you?
Pastor Peter will start vacation tomorrow for the next 4 weeks, and I will be in the office, God willing, Monday through Friday.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You've got some... we've got some guest speakers, preachers coming in here that give you a little bit of relief from having to stare at me. And so we're grateful for that. Others, anything else by way of the good of the order? If you get a minute and you're back in the parlor, peek out the window. We had a dead pine tree back there that got taken down. It's not all gone yet, but that tree has been dropped, and a lot of work went into that. Took all day. But we want to thank those who assisted with that project. Outside looks beautiful. The lawn and garden and care people are doing a great job. And God has done a pretty good job of watering to assist as well. So we are grateful. Anything else by way of announcements and preparing ourselves to gather and worship? If not, stand if you will. Wave hello to one another. And Sydney's going to lead us in the call to worship.
Good morning, church. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and also with you. We are a scattered and divided people. Let us join as beloved brothers and sisters. Let us join together as children of Christ. We gather like chicks under the wings of our Savior. Let us join our voices together and make a joyful noise to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Please remain standing for the singing of the hymn.
Which is how firm a foundation found in on your hymnal on page 529 or fall on the big screen.
Today's scripture reading comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 9 through 14. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors. When you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Great
job. Man, she did a great job. I think she's been practicing online from Virginia, And if we had been listening, we could have heard her on the over the internet. Not so much. By way of prayers and prayer concerns, on the back of the bulletin you see some of the things going on. Aretha Johnson in hospice. She's going to pass from life to death and life again, and joy and sorrow is the bittersweet journey, but our prayers are with her and her family. Suzanne Marcus's granddaughter Maria, 42 years young, and yet also life and death and life again. Prayers for her sons, 18 and 15. So there are others. Don Boyle, recovering from a heart attack. We're waiting. Stephanie, you know, is the granddaughter of Aretha, and she broke both of her feet, and so getting around is a huge chore for her. She may not be able to even make it to her grandma's funeral, so prayers for her. Sandy, can we inquire from you about your son Don and what kind of things are going on there? Michael, she's down here in bright yellow. I can see yellow.
Well, Don seems to be doing better. He's actually to the point where he realizes this place that he's at, is called Westward, is his permanent home until he can physically take care of himself.
Amen. So he knows the tasks before him, and grace and peace and strength to him and to you guys as you support him. Other concerns in our midst. We would be remiss not to list the floods going on still around the country, the extreme weather that's been impacting others. And as you know, I was born and raised on the Western Slope. That's what it's called over there on the other side of the mountains, or that's what they call themselves. Grand Junction area has a bunch of wildfires. They have been in extreme drought for some time. And so prayers for them and for families displaced and for firefighters, dangerous, dangerous, hot, dry conditions and rough terrain, very hard on human bodies. Other concerns, continue to pray for peace. We got to work at that. We're working. We do see, I do believe that we've seen some de-escalation in the Middle East. I hope that continues. We pray for de-escalation in between Russia and Ukraine. Politics. Politics always seems to be the holding point in. We need to just pray. And we need to pray for all leaders and all those in powers and what have you. Anything else? All right. Let's turn, if we will, let's turn in our worship bulletin to our prayer of our unison prayer, and let us read responsively. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us. Lord, we thank you that you are mindful of our salvation. May we reside in your mercy, O Lord. May we continue in your steadfast love. Lord, you have been with us from of old. You have blessed us for the goodness sake of your goodness, O Lord. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. Guide us, Lord, from distractions to be greater and greater faithfulness. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord God, when we look out and see the verdant grass growing from your rains, and when we look out and see the flowers growing and shouting your magnificence, when we look out and see creation in a wonderful concert of joy, we celebrate. We turn our hearts to the joy and the gladness of life and the warmth of the sun, the bounty all around us, safety of our nation, for all the blessings that we have. in the midst of all that, Lord, let us not be forgetful. Let us remember that we are called to be about being your people, to be about those who reach out in the world through your love and care, that we are called to be those who are agents of Christ's love, offering the good news. Help us speak that loudly and clearly, and if necessary, even with words. And Lord, be with us as we gather in ways that build community and family, in ways that are inclusive and compassionate, in ways that echo Christ's teachings and ministry, parables, and existence. Lord God, be with us. Be with us this day. Be with those we have named in our prayers. Be with those that we've named in our hearts that we lift silently to you. And be with us. We all have aches and pains and minor concerns, and we know that you listen and that you care. Help us respond with thankfulness to all of your blessings. And hear us, Lord, as we gather in our community gathering, in our church, with churches all around the world, as we pause and pray as Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Colleen, from your blessings, would you give us an offering?
Stand for the reading of the scripture, if you're able. Okay. Today's New Testament reading comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? The expert answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan while traveling came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I came back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I invite Stephanie and everybody down. By the way, I just was reminded, I completely omitted birthdays. So we need to lift some of those birthdays. Today, Willie Funaki, Monroe Mathias, no, Monica Mathias, we buried Monroe, God bless him. Joe Richards, that's their anniversary, I'm sorry, not birthday. And Susan Schneer has a birthday on Monday. Others, other birthdays or special celebrations. Diana, thank you for reminding me, I completely forgot. You've got some good help there, Miss Stephanie, so thank you. All right, if you would like to join for a little bit of calisthenics, a little bit of aerobic exercise, our vacation Bible school song. Thank you. Thank you. Good job, young'uns. You got your hands full there, Miss Stephanie. Some good help for sure. I'll tell you what, if I had a living making a dancer, I'd be broke. Not that, just isn't there. So the scriptures this morning are straight out of the lectionary, Deuteronomy, Luke chose those two, and they spell out the question, which do you choose? And they give us a hint, title of the sermon. They're giving us a hint. Do not worship other gods. And do love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's the sermon for this morning. Thank you, Ms. Don. All right, I got a couple other pages here, about 12, so we'll just go on. The Israelites, you remember, they're journeying around, and they're going to be moving into the Promised Land. You've heard of the Promised Land. You've heard of their journey out of Egypt, and they're traveling 40 years in the wilderness, and they're going to come into the land that God has given them, the Promised Land, full of milk and honey. And it's the land of Canaan. It isn't empty. The Canaanites live there. And in the land of milk and honey, the Promised Land, they have a society. The Canaanites have their gods. We've heard some of their names. We hear them in the Old Testament in passing. There's Baal. There's Asherah. There's El. There's a bunch of them. And it's kind of fun because they have an entire industry around artisans who make icons, idols. So you can have an artist make a little Baal god, and you can carry God around in your pocket there. Wouldn't that be handy? Downside of that, and it's pointed out in some of the scriptures, is that clay god is, if it falls wrong and lands on a rock, it breaks. That's not a very robust god. And God, our God, Yahweh, the God of the Israelites, says, these little gods bring death, not life. This is, and you're going to be forced to choose when you go into the land and intermix with the Canaanites. You're going to join them in worshiping their gods with a little g. Are you going to be seduced away to their temples and statues and icons and their worship patterns? So you have to choose. And it is about life and death, you see, because life and death as in the passing of this mortal existence is not necessarily bad. We have life and death and life again. And it's a glorious, wonderful thing. The Reverend Dr. Walter Brueggemann. Anybody ever heard of him? He's a scholar, biblical scholar. You might not have. He just died last month, June. He passed. He was 92 years old. He was old and full of years, and he sleeps with his fathers. Isn't that a lovely way of recognizing that this mortal existence comes to an end? And then we become part of another existence, which we can't see yet until we pass there. But life and death and life again is a cycle and is a routine. And that's part of what God is talking about when he says, if you worship other gods, you'll die. But that's not the entirety of that, you see, because this other worshiping of other idols is also about the idols and the gods of societies, the things that people are tempted to prioritize. Wealth, power, prestige, vanity. Those things might tend to be the most important things. I remember being in high school and knowing that when I get to the age that I am right now, what kind of house I would have and what kind of car I would be driving, a Porsche. And what I'd have as a career and everything, and I had it all figured out and envisioned. But those are things. Those are idols and things that can distract us away from what we should be idolizing. And indeed, those things can be soul-crushing. I remember in high school, I was the photographer for the school, and one of the things that I needed, I had a nice camera, but I couldn't get pictures from far away. I needed a telephoto lens. And I remember thinking, if I only had this telephoto lens, my life would be ideal. It would be just ideal, just wonderful beyond belief. So I talked to my folks, and it took some talking, My dad was frugal from the word F. Not a bad thing. He grew up in that Depression era when you didn't buy things if you didn't need, and you never threw anything away. But anyway, they finally agreed, and they bought me that lens, and you know, I used it for about 2 or 3 months, and then I used it about probably another 20 times over the rest of my life. And it has not brought me that idyllic life that I kind of envisioned. It's nice. I still have it. It's in a box in my cupboard, covered with dust. But those are things. You see my point. You understand my where I'm going. So Jesus tells this parable about the Good Samaritan. Keep in mind, good and Samaritan never went together in the Old Testament and in Jesus' time. Samaritans were those outsiders you did not associate with, you didn't have anything to do with, you disliked, and that you hated them as a country. Samaritans were just bad. You didn't even walk through their countryside. And yet Jesus did several times. Let's not go there. So here comes this parable, and you heard Sydney read it to you. The man falls among thieves and robbers. We don't know anything about him. But they steal everything, including his clothes, leave him naked, unconscious in the ditch. Priest and the Levite both came by, and they both go around him. Isn't that awful? Oh, what a horrible, nasty thing. No, they were obeying the Levitical laws. The Levitical laws said a priest shall not approach a naked body. A Levitical priest or a Levitical leader should not touch a dead body. So the potential for this still body in the ditch to be dead meant that the priest had to avoid it to do the right thing under the law. So they're obeying their legal dictates, their laws, the way that they should be properly. And Jesus lifts that up, and they go around the body. But along comes this Samaritan. And he stops and takes care of the body, takes care of the person, takes care of him, lifts him up. It's an amazing thing. And so Jesus is telling this parable. Keep in mind, it's a parable. We have no sign that it ever occurred. It occurs only in Luke. The account only occurs in Luke. It's a teaching story. And it might have been one that Matthew and Mark and John, they didn't include it in their Gospels because it just was too hard to hear, or they didn't focus on it, and who knows? But Luke tells us about this, and it's an important one for learning something. The Samaritan wastes his resources, wastes his time, risks getting in trouble because he's a Samaritan. And he does all those things for this other person. Now, there are fables. Anybody ever heard a fable? Come on, it's not a trick question. You've heard fables, okay. There's one, and I did not bother to look it up, so we're going to do this from memory. There was one about a lion that gets caught in a net. Remember this fable? Help me with this. And it's caught in this net, and it's trapped, a hunter's net or something. And a mouse comes over, and the mouse chews through the webbing. Do you remember? Am I getting it right? Are we doing? If not, we're going to rewrite the fable right here and now. So the mouse chews through until the lion is freed. And this big lion, and here's a mouse, which would make a nice snack for a lion, you gotta admit. But now the lion remembers the mouse, and later the mouse is in trouble, and I don't remember how, and the lion saves it. Do I have the fable pretty well close to? So the mouse does something nice for the lion, and in return, the lion does something nice for the mouse. Quid pro quo, that's called. Tit for tat. I will do something for you if you will do something for me. This is not the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is not receiving anything back for giving of himself and his resources and everything about it to help this stranger. If he costs you any extra money, he tells the innkeeper, I'll pay that when I come back. Take care of him. Giving of himself, doesn't know him, and may not ever meet him again, may not even get a thanks. Which of these, Jesus asks the man, which of these do you think, the priest or the Levite or the Good Samaritan, which of these did the right thing? And of course, the right answer is the one who showed mercy. The one who cared for others. We have the other piece of that, and there's other parables and other points in the different gospels when different people ask Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus has taught, love your neighbor. This is what the Good Samaritan does. But they're pretty shrewd. Well, who's my neighbor? I mean, I don't have to worry about those people, do I? They're not really my neighbors. And in fact, I want to move somewhere where all my neighbors think like me and dress like me and look like me and we all agree with each other. That's not neighbor. Jesus is talking about the neighbor who is completely outside of that. And many of them who question Jesus about who is my neighbor, they're brokenhearted because we all admit some of our neighbors are hard to love. I am blessed to be in a neighborhood that has great neighbors. I mean, we just have a good time. There are people that drive by my house now, especially since I repainted it, and it's a rather vivid house now. And they will look and they will look out their window and they'll wave at me. And I'll think, well, I don't know who you are for sure, but you appear to be one of my neighbors, and I'll wave back because I appreciate the collegiality and the greeting. How are you doing? How are you? I don't know them. And there are neighbors of different ethnicities and different languages. My neighbors from Ukraine, I haven't had deep conversations with them about the war. And they're getting old. I'm worried about them. And I don't know how to help them. They get out and walk every day with their dog, so I'm encouraged there. But these are my neighbors. Who are yours? How are they? So what will we choose? I remember, I haven't seen them in years now, but there used to be T-shirts that said, look out for number one. And I've seen people with signs like that in there. Looking out for number one, me. Take care of yourself first. It reminds me of, have any of you seen the Pirates of the Caribbean movies? Jack Sparrow is a pirate. And he and his first mate, what's his first mate's name? I don't remember, and none of you are helping me very much. But they look at each other and they remember the pirate's code, take all you can and give nothing back. That's a true pirate's motto, isn't it? So which will we choose? Which should we be about? That idolatry of things, of money, of power, prestige, vanity, whatever it may be that calls us and wants to be the focus of our lives. And which will never give us life, but only sadness eventually. So which of these will we choose? Brueggemann, I mentioned him a second ago, the Reverend doctor who died last month. He said, obedience to God is so often coached in dire words But choosing life over death is an easy choice. Amen. That's an easy choice. This is an easy thing to do. So remember what these two Bible passages are telling us. Don't go after other gods. Don't allow those other things to occupy, preoccupy, or become more important. And do love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as God has loved us. As they are preparing to enter the promised land, Moses is not allowed, and then there's a whole theological discussion about why God does not let him enter. But they come to the promised land, and they're preparing to enter, and so it is really Joshua who is Moses' second in command, if you will, and he helps lead everyone in. And the book of Joshua, we hear some of his words and some of his teachings. And one of his verses is the one that I hold with my family. As for me and mine, we shall serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's see if we can get Miss Colleen to come and help us. Mark, if you will come lead us. What does the Lord require of you? Spell it right out there, 2174. Stand if you will.
Does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord? What?
I've been through it twice.
Let's do. Do we want to do it twice?
Twice.
Thank you, Miss Colleen. Thank you, Mark. Easy choices to make. We've been given some hints, and we can choose. And then there are days that we vacillate. There are days that other things distract us. Nitpicking and pitch, focusing on minor laws and the things that just drive us nuts, they're not life-giving. Loving one another. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may we be about that in everything that we do. Amen?
Amen.
Let's join hands and sing our closing. God's people said, Amen. Amen.